This is what our society teaches, is that you are entitled and you deserve and you should pursue ease and comfort and luxury and a life that has no trial and has no sickness and has no difficulty, and you just end up in retirement sitting by the seashore, legs up, fruity drink in your hand, doing whatever you want for the rest of time. And that's what life is supposed to be. Maybe for the world, not for followers of Jesus Christ.
Hi, friends, and welcome to Live in the Light. We are so glad to be with you today in our 2 Corinthians series. I always look forward to a bit of a slower pace in the summer, an extra time with my family and beautiful weather, and I hope you have got to enjoy these things too as we are getting into September. But we are fired up to be in the studio today and back in 2 Corinthians together. Today's message is called The Light, The Truth, and The Impact of the Gospel. Hey, Robbie, that sounds a lot like our mission statement.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, Shannon. And as we enter into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. I know that's saying a lot, but it is true. This has always meant so much to me. So I am really expectant for the next several days and even couple of weeks as we start to unpack chapter 4 and chapter 5 as well. I mean, the whole letter is so rich, but this chapter particularly deals with some beautiful aspects of theology, of perseverance, of trials, of suffering, of what it means to truly follow Christ. I mean, the Holy Spirit knew what he was doing when he was helping people to write the Word of God. I mean, duh, like, we know that, but we get to go through it together now, verse by verse, as we have been doing. So super excited to launch from chapter 3 into chapter 4. And yes, today we will unpack again the elements of the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the most powerful message ever given. It's light, it's truth, and why is it so impactful again over so many centuries across this entire world. So Shannon, once again here at Living the Light, we're so glad for those who are listening, and we're glad right now to be in this chapter, in this text, to hear from our God through his word.
Amen. And the thing that I love about this passage particularly in this message is we're talking about not losing heart. Paul is encouraging us to keep going no matter what's going on. And what a timely message to begin this new season together. Hey friends, join me if you can in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we will join Pastor Robbie in verse 1.
2 Corinthians 4 is one of my favorite chapters in Scripture. There's a few reasons for that. 2 Corinthians 4, which we will be in, Lord willing, for the next 3 weeks, has huge themes of eternal perspective. I'm addicted to biblical eternal perspective. It has huge themes of supernatural perseverance. We are in desperate need of perseverance and endurance in Christ, and it has huge themes of Holy Spirit power. So 2 Corinthians 4, themes of perspective and perseverance and power. Why are those themes so prevalent for us today? Well, here's why. It's so we would not lose heart. It's so we would not give up. It's so that we would remain encouraged in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that Paul begins and ends this chapter with, so we do not lose heart. He bookends this chapter with this reality, which means, again, this is what he's saying, again, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. One of the questions we asked, though, was why would Paul repeatedly make such statements? Why would he make such statements that we are to not give up, that we are to not lose heart? Well, the reason is because this just in, we are tempted to lose heart. We are tempted if we live genuine lives in serious devotion for Jesus Christ. It is difficult at times, and we are tempted, again, to be discouraged. I'm committed to you. One of the things I'm committed to do, again, here at this church over 20-plus years now, again, is pastoral transparency. And I woke up this past Monday morning, and I woke up with a big ugh. You know, not the shoe, whatever that is. But just with a, ugh. Many of you maybe felt the same way, going back to school or work. But as I got myself to my study desk early on Monday morning, and I opened up 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I stared at verse 1. And I stared at verse 1, I found myself saying out loud to myself, huh, where I was and then what I was reading. It didn't happen in a minute. It took several minutes. But as I read and reread the content of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and realized kind of where we were heading in a fresh way, it started to renew my mind, and its power started to slowly enter and encourage my heart. And isn't this so needed? Isn't it so needed that we are encouraged in the things of the Lord and the truth of the gospel? It's so needed because, again, life is often tough. This world is dark and evil. Life brings to us all situations that we would not expect or anticipate, but the reality is that's what happens. If you serve and love the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what you're guaranteed. The battle is on. If you want to fluff your way off in life and do nothing for Jesus, then you'll be left alone. If you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the spiritual battle, as we'll hear today again, is on. And this all means at times then, the discouragement or the temptation towards discouragement is also very real. It's very real. At times it's difficult. At times you don't even know kind of what to make of what's happening inside your own head. Again, by way of transparency, this past week has been an internal battle for me. Not the first time, won't be the last time. This is part of what I've been called to. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. But what I do know over the course, again, of how many years I've been doing this, is sometimes the Lord will allow situations to happen in my life, at least, and allow me to experience a level of brokenness and what appears to be discouragement. He will allow certain things that I might begin to live and feel the weight of a text that I would not otherwise. That I'd be able to stare at a text and understand the heart of Paul maybe in a way that I would not, again, nearly as much. And as much as I don't want these things, in my flesh, I don't want these weeks to happen. I don't enjoy it. And yet I believe so much that the ways of God, he does things that we don't expect sometimes to allow us to experience the power of his spirit in a way we wouldn't otherwise. I trust God in this. And I hope some of you can relate to this as well. That you see the passage in front of you now and all of a sudden you feel and you experience and you live in a way that again you otherwise would not. Remember too, as we start to go through some of these verses right here in chapter 4, there's a reason Paul keeps bringing up such themes. And the reason he keeps bringing up such themes is because the church needs it. That's why. Because the Holy Spirit knows that we need it. All throughout this chapter 2, Paul's like, we and we and we and we. He's not like I. He's like we, because the church is in this battle for encouragement together. And Paul knows it. So what does Paul do? And it's massive discipleship here today in the early verses of 2 Corinthians 4. What he does is he reminds himself of the light of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, and the impact of the gospel. The light, truth, and the impact of the gospel, because this renews his mind as to why he exists, why he lives. And this is what allows him to not ultimately lose heart. And this is what we do today. And this is what we do also over the next couple of weeks, Lord willing, as well. So Paul, by the Holy Spirit, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is seeking to bring some massive doses of encouragement to our lives through what is most fundamental and essential within our lives. So for the next 3 weeks, you're going to be forced to receive a special dose of encouragement from Jesus Christ. I hope you're okay with that, okay? Amen, amen. All in favor of encouragement in this January. All in favor of encouragement, all in favor. And for those who didn't raise your hand, a special prayer for you. I don't know why, all right? But this is where we're going this week and again, or in this month, and I'm excited for that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. I hope there's a bit of anticipation right now, maybe some faith that is a little stronger than it was when you first came in. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Wow. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. In verse 6, for God who said, let light shine in the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a verse that is. Can't wait to get there today. I want to remind you, chapters 1 to 3 in 2 Corinthians, Paul is being hammered with affliction, hammered with suffering, and hammered in opposition. He despaired of life itself, he says in chapter 1. It was so bad. My question is, Paul, how do you keep going then? Why do you keep going? You've every reason to give up. It's so hard. Like all these things happen around you. How is it, Paul, that you keep going? And his answer is not complicated, but it's very profound. The light of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, and the impact of the gospel. And this is what he unpacks for us today, which I pray again will lead to great encouragement for us. So listen, because of the light, the truth, and the impact of the gospel, we learn several things today and what is happening. Number one is this, because of this, again, awesome gospel, we are resilient. We are resilient. Look at verse 1 together. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Some of you are new to the church here. Some of you are new to Christianity. Some of you are new to reading your Bible. Praise God. When you're studying scripture and you see a therefore, one of the questions you ask, which is clever and helpful, is what's it there for? The therefore is pointing to the preceding verses and content of truth, right? So he says, therefore, having this ministry, which he discussed in detail in chapter 3. When we see, therefore, having this ministry, the next question we ask, what ministry is he talking about? I'm excited for this right now. This is a perfect chance to review what we learned a few weeks ago in chapter 3. In chapter 3, Paul was unpacking the incredible ministry of the new covenant compared to the insufficient reality of the old covenant. See, what do you mean by that? On the screen for you, let's just remind ourselves of what we learned a few weeks ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is for all true believers in Jesus Christ. You're here today, you're saved in Jesus Christ. You're in Orangeville right now and you're saved in Jesus Christ. You're in Overflow right now, you're saved in Jesus Christ. This is for you. You have received as a follower of Christ the forgiveness of your sins. You're born again by the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit or ministry of life versus the ministry of death. That's quite a contrast there. And that's literally what Paul says, again, in the verses right there in verses 7 and 8 in chapter 3, right? The ministry of the Spirit, I've been born again. I've been regenerated. I'm a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5. I will never die. That's what the new covenant in Jesus Christ brings. The old covenant, right, is a ministry of death because the old covenant can show you your sin, but it cannot save you from your sin. If you just know that you're a sinner but have no salvation, that's called death. But the ministry of the Spirit is life. In Jesus Christ, we receive the ministry of righteousness. Not our righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed. It is counted in our account as his righteousness. Now we have this as opposed to the ministry of condemnation. The old covenant could just show us our sin. We are accused in our guilt of sin. It could not remove our sin. Jesus removes our sin. We are righteous in Jesus Christ. You're alive today in Jesus Christ. You've received the ministry of righteousness. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is absolutely amazing. And then the ministry of permanent glory. The old covenant, the problem with that old covenant, it was fading and ended. It could not last. It's temporal. But the ministry of the gospel in Jesus Christ in the new covenant is you receive a glory that will never, ever end and never, ever fade. It lasts forever. The glory of Jesus Christ, again, starts to live in you. You will never die. And one day soon, Jesus Christ will return. You will see him face to face. And you will recognize again the glory that lives forever and ever and ever. There is no ministry like this ministry. This ministry is the absolute best. It's the greatest blessing. It's the greatest favor. It's the greatest grace. And it's the greatest joy. And that is why Paul says, therefore, having this ministry, notice verse 1, take a look, by the mercy of God. by the mercy or grace of God, meaning Paul didn't deserve it. Paul didn't earn it. Paul was called to it. Paul in himself was a former blasphemer of Jesus Christ. Paul was overseeing the murder of Christians. Paul was against Christ emphatically. And yet he, in his former blaspheming state, was struck by the light of the gospel, saved in Jesus Christ, and his whole life turned around and was called now to the ministry of the Spirit and righteousness and permanent glory. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, the reality of the gospel. And so Paul says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God. Notice what's happening here too. Paul, like Paul's in it, man. Again, the level of stress and burden and attack and opposition. Again, I keep asking, how does he keep going? Here's how he keeps going. He renews his mind in the gospel. He renews his mind in the truth of who he is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds himself in chapter 3, verse 18, that with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed in the image of Christ, and nothing will ever stop that from happening. He reminds himself what's so fundamentally true: his status in Christ, his calling in Christ, his identity in Christ, his future guaranteed glory in Jesus Christ. And that is what allows the end of verse 1 now to be stated. We do not lose heart. See what's happening here? We do not lose heart. I can't overstate how important right now, what you're seeing in verse 1, how important this is as your discipleship in Jesus Christ. If you're going to persevere in Jesus Christ, if you're going to remain pursuing the joy of your salvation in Jesus Christ, if you want to fight against apathy and complacency, if you want to pursue love in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul's showing us how he does it, how he doesn't give up, how he moves through trial, how he moves against Satan, how he continues to persevere for the things of Christ. He's showing us how. What does he do? He's renewing his mind of the truths of who he is in Christ. He's saying out loud his identity. He's reminding himself of his calling in Christ, the privilege that he has been given to minister the gospel. He is reminding himself that nothing will ever cause him to die. He cannot die in Jesus Christ. His glory is absolutely guaranteed and certain. You see what he's doing? This is what allows him then to not lose heart. And this is the same thing will allow you and me to not lose heart as well. If you're gonna pursue in Jesus Christ and you're gonna persevere in Jesus Christ, you have to find a way to renew your mind in the most important truths ever. On a daily basis, you gotta preach the gospel to yourself. And then we will not lose heart. Interesting, a not lose heart. That's not referring to physical fatigue. It's referring to spiritual weariness. The spiritual weariness, the weight, the burden, the opposition. I'm constantly amazed how much the New Testament talks about perseverance and resilience. It's a grand theme, again, within the New Testament. No wonder then, Paul loved his athletic metaphors. I love Paul for that. Some of his key athletic metaphors he uses to describe the Christian life is what? Running a race. And this isn't the 100-meter sprint. He's describing a marathon. That's the picture, again, in the ancient days of what, again, would have been happening in ancient Greece. He pictures a boxer boxing in a fight through many, many rounds. He pictures a wrestler, Ephesians 6. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And imagine the image of wrestling and the exhaustion that is tempted with in these athletic endeavors. What stands out to me too is the tremendous weariness that can set in each of these examples, right? You're on mile 21 of 26 in a marathon, and the way the body is begging and screaming to stop. You're in a boxing fight in the 12th round, and the demand, your body's pushed to the limits of exhaustion. You're wrestling on the mat, and the exertion that is required to sustain and remain again in that fight. These are the examples that Paul gives. The weariness that can be felt day after day and month and year after year and decade after decade of serving again the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my closest pastoral friends, we have a saying that we love so much. It's this: we're still here. We're still here. We've been through a lot together. He's in a different church. We've been a lot together, though tears and trials and torment. But but by the mercy of God, we're still here. And this is what the gospel produces in us. It produces in us resiliency. I needed this truth this week. I need this truth today. Ironically, I believe that one of the signs you're in the will of God, and you can examine the scriptures to decide whether you agree with me fully on this, but I think one of the signs you're in the will of God is that you're tempted at times with weariness. Because, like, look at Paul, like, look at Peter, look at John. Like, they're all just fighting, you know, in the strength of God, and they're all desperately weary at times and on the verge of despairing of life itself. If you want comfort in this life, and if you think following Christ is ease and leisure and relaxation, and you want everything to go smooth all the time and not have trials in your life, listen, you are not in God's will. You are seeking something outside of the biblical understanding of what the Christian life actually, again, explains to us. I'll say it again, because this is what our society teaches, is that you are entitled and you deserve and you should pursue ease and comfort and luxury and a life that has no trial and has no sickness and has no difficulty, and you just end up in retirement sitting by the seashore, legs up, fruity drink in your hand, doing whatever you want for the rest of time. And that's what life is supposed to be. Maybe for the world, not for followers of Jesus Christ. If you truly pursue the Lord Jesus Christ and you read his word and you find out at times it is tough, and Satan will not be bothered with you if you're seeking that life of leisure and comfort, because you're no threat. You're no threat to him. You're no threat to other people being transformed in Jesus Christ to him. He could care less about you at that point. But you're going to go for Jesus Christ. You're going to live your life at a cost. You're going to pursue, seek first the kingdom, the righteousness of God, the love of God and the gospel. Then Satan has a special eye on you. And life at times will get very hard and very difficult, and times extremely lonely and confusing. Paul knows as well as anyone what I just described. And yet he says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Amazing. The gospel understood and lived out produces in us a resiliency that allows us to say over many years, we're still here. And by God's grace, we still will be in the years to come. God help us. Amen, church. Amen. The light, the truth, the impact of the gospel, number two, means we refuse to tamper with God's word. We refuse to tamper with God's word because God's word contains the gospel. Look at verse 2 now. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. This is such an important verse here. Notice with strength and emphasis, Paul absolutely renounces cunning or deceit when it comes to the handling of the word of God. He emphatically states in verse 2, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with the word of God. We refuse to practice cunning. The next time he uses the word cunning will be chapter 11, and that's in reference to the serpent with cunning deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. So it's early January. I started my new reading plan, or my same reading plan over many years now, in January 1st. That's what happens. And my reading plan has me in Genesis and Ezra to start, and Matthew and Acts. And so I'm in January 3rd, it's Genesis chapter 3. I'm in Genesis chapter 3, and of course that's the fall of Adam and Eve. It's the entrance of sin into the world, and that's when Satan comes up, the serpent, and Adam even know the commands, what they're not supposed to do. Again, the one tree they're not supposed to eat of, and then what does Satan do? He comes up and he says, did God really say? Did God really say? See, that's the tactic of Satan from the beginning. He is trying to undermine the word of God. Because he knows this, if he can undermine the word of God, then he can undermine everything. And that was his tactic then, and that's been his tactic every day since. See, listen, look here. That's why the battle for this book is everything. That's why the battle for this book is everything. This contains the power of the gospel. It's this book. The church doesn't exist without it. We lose this, we lose everything. We have no sermons without this book. We have no truth without this book. We have no, again, salvation apart from what's revealed in this book. You start to mess with this book, you mess with everything. Satan knows that, of course. This is why this is constantly under attack. Subtle, not so subtle ways. This is, again, what he seeks to do. This is why Paul is so serious about it as well. And listen, this is why you and I need to be so serious about this book too. All these New Year's resolutions, blah, 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 blah. I read this week that by January 15th, almost every resolution has already been ended. I don't know. I just read that. I believe it, though. How about a new life resolution, though? Like, what's the percentage of people in this room that are reading God's word on some kind of regular basis? What's the percentage? It's not high enough. I just, the understanding that it is the word of God that allows you to hear the voice of God, that reveals to you the will of God, that points you towards the grace of God, to experience the power of God, to live life again for the glory of God. It all starts with the word of God. If you close the word of God in your life, you cannot hear his voice. You don't hear his voice, you won't know his will. If you don't know his will, you cannot possibly know his favor. You won't know his direction. Loved ones, I plead with you. Allow your theology to impact your practice. If you want to know God's voice and you want to know God's will and you want to know to bear fruit for God and you want to do work for God, it all starts with the word of God. It all starts with the word of God, the Bible. That's what we treasure and that's what we protect. And this is why we, again, everything we're saying right now is being preached from this book, because without that, we have nothing to say. And listen. This is why the enemy tries to, again, get anywhere in between us and the truth of God's word. This is why, let's say an example of this, liberalism. Why liberalism is so devastating to the church. Liberalism seeks to water down the truth. Liberalism does two things. It inserts alien ideas into God's truth, and it removes portions of God's truth. Either way, you end up with a false gospel. You have a false gospel, you have no power, you have no salvation, you have no glory to God, you have nothing. You are a country club hanging out, trying to make each other feel good by your own, again, human platitudes of some kind of emptiness that will do nothing for anyone ever. This is the devastation, again, of things like liberalism. Notice, interesting that the word tamper in verse 2 is used to describe the watering down of wine. And when you water down something like wine, what happens? It ceases to be the real thing. When you water down wine, it is corrupted. And when the word of God is corrupted, tampered with, that's the devastation to souls and to nations. Wake up, Canada. It is the devastation of souls and nations to tamper with God's word. Here's what Richard Niebuhr, I've used this quote before. I think it's very powerful. I'll use it again. He said this. This is the impact of liberalism on the gospel. Results in a God without wrath, brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations, the ministry of Christ without a cross. Stare at that for a second. This is what liberalism does to the word of truth and the gospel. This is no gospel.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna-